morning, we'd ask you to turn to John chapter 14, and we are looking at a series dealing with the Holy Spirit of God and the administrator. Last week, we dealt with the introduction to this series, and now here we are today getting down to the body of it, and we're going to examine the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives and what He is called to do, and He is the administrator of the affairs of God in your life. John chapter 14 is where we want to start today, and then we have another portion of Scripture we'll look at in John also here in just a moment. Let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God today. John chapter 14, Jesus is about ready to leave. He's explaining this to His disciples as He's preparing to be crucified on the cross. He's letting them know that He will leave and there will be another Comforter, one just like Him, that will come and carry on ministry in their lives. He is speaking about the Holy Spirit of God. John chapter 14, verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, or the Paraclete, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, notice this, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You'll notice a couple of things there. The Holy Spirit dwells within them. Verse 16 tells us the Holy Spirit will be ours forever. Never leave. He'll be ours forever once we know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. John chapter 16, we look at what He will do in our lives. John 16, verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient or better for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, what does that mean? Verse 9, of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. You go, what does that mean? Well, that's what we're going to be preaching about today. Father, bless now as we examine the Word of God. Thank You for just a good Bible that we can follow. Thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives that can illuminate our minds and can direct us and reveal truths to us through the Word of God that You want us to know as believers. Bless this time. And Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know Christ, I pray today that they might feel the inviting of the Spirit of God today, but that they might also feel the convicting power of the Spirit of God today, that the Holy Spirit might convict him of their need, that we're all sinners and we have need of a Savior, and that if we would turn to Christ and realize that He's God and that He's paid the price for our sin, and by faith trust Him and accept Him as our personal Savior, that we can be saved today. I pray that You might help us as believers today, that we that are saved, that we might conform to the image of Christ. that we might allow the Spirit of God to do a work in our lives. Bless this time. It's in Christ's name we pray and we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Excuse me. Last week we dealt with the relationship God wants to have in your life, where it started in the beginning with Adam and Eve, what happened to it, and where we are today. We dealt with that last time we met. Today we want to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There's a couple of things that are very true. The first thing that's true is that the Holy Spirit's involvement in our lives, after we get saved, Christ makes us a new creature in Christ Jesus. That happens because of the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us and moving into our lives. The Holy Spirit will not leave you the way He found you. He will change you. You say, well, I've been saved, but I've never been changed. Then you probably have never been saved. Because it will happen. It can happen in major increments, or it can happen in smaller increments. But the Holy Spirit will change you. And we understand that. When I was pastoring a brand new baby church in Norman, Oklahoma, we started it in our front room. And I was the pastor there for 14 years. I remember one of the families that we first started working with in that church. It was Jack and Shirley Vickery. They were believers already, but they were very backslidden. And they wanted to start growing in the things of the Lord. And so they came to Bible studies. They came to times of preaching. And boy, all of a sudden, we had a church full of the relatives of the Vickery family. And we had a whole bunch of them coming, and it was just such a wonderful thing. We had a family that came from Tecumseh, Oklahoma. And Tecumseh was about 65 miles away from Norman, Oklahoma. The Dancer family, never forget them. I remember the first time they came in, and he looked very familiar to me. I did not know him in previous things, but looked very familiar. We hit it off just immediately. And praise the Lord, that first service, he accepted Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. His name was Bobby Dancer. Then, after a couple more services, here came his wife. She got saved. Then Shirley Vickery started witnessing to her mom and dad. And lo and behold, Mr. Dunaway came, and Mr. Dunaway received Christ as his personal Savior. A couple weeks after he got saved, his wife was already a believer, but a couple weeks after he got saved, he got baptized, and we baptized him. And what a wonderful thing happened there. And 2 months later, he passed away. And I preached one of my very first funerals there with Mr. Dunaway. We had some wonderful times. We baptized them in the lake, and we went out to a place in the lake where we thought, well, there's a lot of water here. We won't walk out very far. Ended up, we had to walk out almost two blocks to get in water deep enough to baptize them. But, you know, they said, we want to be baptized. Well, they picked December the 15th to be baptized. And you know what happened that day? Snow and ice. And I realized something. I'd made a great mistake because we were baptizing eight people that day. And one by one, they were on the shore. They would come out, and I had to stand out there in the water. And I realized, I said, all of you, come out. Let's get this show on the road, all right? And we baptized them just real quick. I immediately started teaching them the importance of growing in their faith and the importance of letting the Holy Spirit do something great in their lives. And boy, they started growing. Boy, it was wonderful. It was like, boy, just, it was perfect because the dancers were driving 65 miles every service. And they were coming three times a week. And I couldn't believe it. Boy, they were growing. They were, and their family, they were witnessing. They were on fire. Their lives had been changed. People were seeing it. And I think we led about 20 of that family to Christ. What a wonderful thing it was. And see, that's what happens when the Spirit of God starts working in your life. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit goes to work and He changes you. I had similar things in my own life. I had the privilege of leading some of my family to Christ. Never been around the things of God. And I had the privilege of leading my grandpa to the Lord when he's 72 years old. And my grandma led her to the Lord. And my cousin. And my mom, eventually, I led her to Christ. And see, it happens. You know what happens? We get born again. And Jesus talks about it in John chapter 3. I want you to turn over there. We all know the story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a religious man, and he didn't understand what it was to be saved. He had always done good things. He'd always worked hard. And he thought being good and working hard would benefit him. Jesus teaches him something here. And in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus is explaining what it takes. You've got to be what? Born again. Amen. And what does that mean? I mean, Nicodemus didn't know. He was a religious man. Notice what he said, verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" He was thinking about physical birth, and that's what he was describing there. Jesus explains what it is to be born again, and he uses the reference that he had just heard from Nicodemus. He talks about the physical birth, and he talks about the spiritual birth. Notice what he says in verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." You go, "Oh, got to be baptized." He didn't say baptized. He did not say that. He said being born of water. Now, what was he referring to? Verse 5 is explained by verse 6. The Word of God says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." So what is he talking about? He's talking about a fleshly birth. What happens when that baby's born? First thing that happens is the water comes. What is that? The baby's carried in water. And that water puts forth. You've got to have a physical birth. Verse 6 says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." You've got to be born again by the Spirit of God. You've got to be made alive, is what the Word of God tells us. And you go, "Well, I don't understand what that means." Well, what the Bible says in Ephesians 2, we covered this last week, we were dead and we were not made alive. We know because of what Adam and Eve did, we have an old nature. We have a sinful nature. We were born in sin, right? We covered that last week. But what happens when Jesus saves us? We are made alive. The word is quickened. We are quickened. And that means to be made alive. We are spiritually now alive. When do we become spiritually alive? When you receive Christ as your Savior. Well, how are you before you get saved? You're spiritually dead. Amen? You are spiritually dead. Huh? You were walking, what's it say in Ephesians 2? You were walking according to the course of the prince and power of the air. Who is that? That's the old devil. And that's the way we were. Now, it's an awesome thing when we have a personal relationship with God. But please understand this. God has put three laws within our being. We have the intuitive nature, which is a desire to know God. We have that from Romans chapter 1. It tells us about what He's put within us. And we all desire to know God. Amen? Everybody desires to know God. And they have that yearning. They have that void within them. And only God can fill it. There's two other laws mentioned in Romans 2. It's the law of conscience and the law of reason. And we have those laws there. Why are they in our being? Because God's put them there. And God uses them. Because we know we have a void. In my life, before I got saved, I was looking for something. I was longing for something. I didn't have fulfillment. I needed something. I didn't know what it was. Many people go out, they fill it with vice. They fill it with physical things. They try to make money. They nothing fills it except your relationship with God. You know why? Because God made you that way. Understand, the Holy Spirit's first job, this is what He does. The first thing He does is invite you to come. And the Bible says in Revelation 22:17, which we mentioned last week, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." He's not talking a bit about baptism. He's talking about being spiritually awakened. And we can come and be saved. We can come and receive Christ. And we can be born again. Now, let me give you something today, because we are invited by the Spirit of God to come to Christ. That's His job. That's what He does. Do you hear me? He invites you to come to Christ. And He's working on that. And let me throw this in just real quick. Do you realize that the false prophet in the tribulation time, he will mimic the job of the Holy Spirit? You know what he will do as he's mimicking the job of the Holy Spirit? He will draw people to the Antichrist. He's a fake. Isn't it funny that he does the same job that the Holy Spirit's doing right now in our lives? No, it's not funny. That's the plan of the devil. And we need to understand it. But getting back to this, religion all over the world holds people hostage. You go, what do you mean? It does. Religion all over the world holds people hostage, and here's how they hold them hostage. They teach a performance-based acceptance. You go, what does that mean? Millions of people are taught that when they accept God, the only way to do it is to atone for their own sin by their good works and their good effort and by continuing in a religious system. Folks, that's of the devil. That's not of God. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." How? Through good works. Through good effort. Through keeping my religion. No. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's all by faith. You only get saved by Jesus Christ. You can't get saved by a religion. You can't get saved by baptism. You can't get saved by church membership. He invites you to come to Him. It's like the little boy. The little boy was listening to the preacher preach. The preacher was preaching the Word of God. And the preacher, as he was proclaiming the Word of God, the little boy during the invitation stepped out and came forward. And all of a sudden, the little boy says, "I've come forward to get saved. I'm a sinner and I need Christ." The preacher looked at him and says, "Boy, he's a young one. Maybe I ought to talk to him a little further." So he took him back to his office and he started talking to him. And the little boy, he was trying to see if he understood it theologically. Folks, we forget that all we have to do is come in a childlike faith. We forget that sometimes. And the little boy was listening to the preacher as he was trying to explain it. And the little boy said this. He said, "Sir, in your message this morning, you said that if I would come and ask Jesus to save me, he would. I came." And the preacher said, "I guess all I got to do is show you how to ask." Yeah, see, many times you're not going to understand everything theologically the day you get saved. That happens later. All you got to do is be willing to admit you're a sinner and believe that Jesus is the Savior. And if you're willing to turn from your sin and turn to Christ, praise the Lord, you by faith can get saved today. I don't care who you are. Amen. The first thing the Holy Spirit does, He invites you. That's what He does. He invites you to come. And then this is what He does. He convicts you. Now, let's go to that verse there in John chapter 16. We just read it. John 16, look with me at verse 8. "And when He, the Holy Spirit, is come, He will do what? He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment." That's what He will do. Understand that as the Holy Spirit is doing this, He reproves or convicts of three basic things. This is what He does. He reproves or convicts us of three basic things. Number one, of what? What's it say? Of sin. You go, "What is that about?" Well, He'll convict you that you are a sinful being, that you have a nature of sin. Isn't that one of the first things He does? He convicts you that you are a sinner. Amen. That's what He's doing. When you come, you hear the preacher preaching. What's the preacher do? Preacher, you know, if he's not one of these preachers that sort of tiptoes through the tulips, He preaches that you're a sinner and you need to be saved. That's the first thing you hear. What's the second thing that He does? What's it say? Of what? There is no righteousness in you. So He can't be talking about you. He must be preaching about somebody that is righteous. Who is that? The Son of God. He's righteous. See, the Holy Spirit starts convicting you, what's the first thing He does? He lets you know you're a sinner. What's the next thing He brings to your attention, Brother Devin? That Jesus is the answer. The righteousness. You can only be righteous with God through Jesus Christ. Huh? Is Jesus, what is Jesus? God! Is that plain enough? He's God. Can anybody else save you? No. Only Jesus can. Then, what's the third thing that He convicts you of? Judgment. What is that? You don't get saved. What's going to happen? Huh? You're going to be judged. Where does that happen? Great white throne judgment. Where do you end up? Where? See, I didn't say it. You did. See, I'm, I'm not a hellfire brimstone preacher. You are. Huh? Is that not true? See, it's very simple. It's like falling off the back of a horse. But see, the devil wants that to be confusing to you. Huh? It's not. It's very, very simple. It's as plain as you can get. Understand this. The Holy Spirit of God goes to work in your heart. Now, it can happen in any of our lives. I remember reading the story in Acts chapter 9, Diane. I remember reading that story, Acts chapter 9. Who was on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9? His name was Saul of Tarsus. Old Saul. Saul of Tarsus. And what happened? He was out slaughtering Christians. He hated Christians. He hated the way. He hated anything about that Christianity. And who did he meet on the Damascus Road? He met Jesus Christ. Amen. You go, well, Brother Ron, what happened to him? Well, from the rolling off the back of the horse to hitting the ground, he got born again. You go, well, I didn't have no rolling off the back of a horse when I got saved. Hey, every one of us got saved different way. There's no set way to get saved. All you got to do is believe and trust Christ. Be willing to turn to God. Amen. And what happened to him? He got convicted. And what does the Spirit of God say in the Word of God in Acts 9:5? It says this, Saul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You go, what is that? He was fighting the convicting power of the Spirit of God. And see, some of us do that in church. When we're hearing the preaching and we're fighting it, what are you doing? You're kicking against the pricks. What's pricking? Holy Spirit's pricking your heart. You're kicking against it. Huh? Amen. And if you're here today and you're not saved, the Holy Spirit's probably convicting you of your need right now. And what's the devil going to do? He's going to get you to kick against the pricks. That's exactly what he's doing. And realize this. All you got to do is say, yes, I want to be saved. That's all you got to do. Quit rejecting and give in. Now, what does the Holy Spirit do? He invites us. He convicts us. But he does something else. He does the regenerating power in your life. He regenerates you. Now, turn to a verse. I want you to see some of these. Titus chapter 3. Oh, this is, I'll tell you what, that clock back there, we got to unplug that clock. I'll tell you, forget it. Titus 3:5. Notice what the Bible says. See, now, what we believe around here is not taking it from the preacher. It's taken directly out of the Word of God. The Bible says in Titus 3:5, not by works. Hey, aren't you glad salvation is not by works? Huh? Not by works. Not by works of righteousness. We have no righteousness, which we have done. But according to his mercy, he saved us. Huh? How? By the what? Hey, he says washing of what? Regeneration. Baptism's not said one place there. The regenerating power cleanses us. That moment we get saved, we are regenerated. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, what in the world is that all about? Well, he invites us, he convicts us, and understand what he does? He regenerates us. Now, what does that mean? It means he brings you to life spiritually. You are spiritually alive. The word regenerate, You know what it means? To regen. That's what it means. It means to regen. You go, what does that mean? It means that God gives you a complete life now. You are spiritually alive. What are we? We're a trichotomy. We're made up of what? Body, soul, and spirit. Is that right? We were walking around like a dichotomy. Two parts were alive. And then what happened? You got saved, and you're a complete person now. You go, well, I'm not saved yet. Then you're not complete. You're walking around incomplete. That's why you've got all this mess going on. You go, how do you know I got a mess going on? Well, look over at Romans 8:11. Romans 8:11. Notice what the Word of God says here in this verse of Scripture. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that happens the moment you get saved, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that means made alive, your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And see, I've got a promise right now that one day this old body's going to be glorified. This old body's going to be changed. Amen. And understand this, that's exactly what the Spirit of God has done. He's quickened me. And it's an amazing thought that we have here. God offers us new life. And before, we were spiritually dead because of Adam and Eve and because of them taking the whole human race into sin. But now I got saved and I have a relationship with Christ. And now I have a relationship with God because of what Jesus has done. But I got more than that. I now have the indwelling of the Spirit of God in my life. He's regenerated me. And now I can understand spiritual things. Before I couldn't. Before I was spiritually ignorant. Now I can understand them. And now I read my Bible. And the Spirit illuminates my mind. And He gives me clearness of thought. And things are, it's like, have you ever seen a cartoon where somebody says, oh, the light was turned on? That's what happens now. Now that I'm saved. Now that you're saved, it's happening. Yeah, this is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. Understand this. Here's how Paul described it. Listen to me. 1 Corinthians 6:10-11. Listen to it. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Jesus saved you. The Holy Spirit's doing a work in your life now as He regenerates you and as He brings you to maturity and to development. You go, explain that better, all right? Let me explain it by a story. There was a young lady that had accepted Christ as her Savior and had been growing a little while, and she moved to a new location. She joined an independent Baptist church, and she came forward to join the church, and one of the deacons was talking to her. He was an old crusty kind of guy. He asked her this. He says, well, ma'am, were you a sinner before you received the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Here's what she said. She says, well, yes, sir, I sure was. Well, ma'am, are you a sinner now? And she says, well, to tell you the truth, I feel like I'm a greater sinner than ever. And he said, okay, was there a real change in your life? She says, yeah, but I don't know how to quite explain it, except this way. I used to be a sinner running to sin. Now that I'm saved, I'm a sinner running from it. But I'm still a sinner. And I thought, boy, that's a good way to explain it. I don't run to it, I run from it. Am I still a sinner? Yeah! But I'm a saved one. I'm a born-again one. Huh? Amen! Jesus has changed me. He's given me the new birth. I have a new life. I have a new heart. I have a new purpose. And this all is because He regenerated me. And the Spirit of God indwelled me. And He moved in. And He's here. You go, oh, you think you're holy and special. No, I think every Christian ought to realize He's there. He's there. He's part of me now. He indwells us. The Word of God says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. Then it says this, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth in you. See, I know the Spirit of God. He lives in here. He indwells me. And folks, we need to understand that. That's why the Bible says, know ye not that you are the temple of the Spirit of God. Hey, folks, He indwells me. I'm His temple. He indwells right here. The Spirit of God does. Huh? He does. He indwells me. And that Holy Spirit of promise hath sealed me. It's an incredible thing. It's an incredible thing that's taken over. And the Bible says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If He be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Folks, understand, it's the Spirit of God that indwells us. He's part of my life now, and I'm in Him. But more than that, He indwells me, He seals me. And the Bible says I'm sealed until the day of redemption. That means I have God's stamp on me. I have God's brand on me, and nothing can take it away from me. We need to realize, we need to remember that the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, salvation is not a performance-based thing. And that's what so many religious people believe. They got to perform to keep it, or they'll lose it. Salvation is a faith-based thing. And He invites us to come. And He invites us to come to Him. He doesn't invite you to come and earn Him. He invites you to come to Him by faith. See, we can't earn God. It's not a performance-based thing. It's a faith-based thing. The Bible says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He sealed me. And you know, that word means He secured me. He's preserved me. I am His. He indwelt me. That's mine. It's like this. Once you get born again, you're born. Frank? Once something's born, it's born. It can't go back. Right? You can't unborn it. Have you ever seen anything unborn? Everything that is birthed is born. If you're born into the family of God, how do you get unborn? Remember, it's His family. It's eternal. And He's the one that possesses it and keeps it. It's not based on you. It's based on Him. Amen. Oh, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful, wonderful truth. But it's not only, He's not only sealed me, He's given me an earnest. Now think of this. He said, the Holy Spirit of God is my earnest. What does that mean? Help me, help me. Come on, help me. What is it, David? Down payment. What, David, stand up real quick. Real quick. David, what does it mean to get a down payment? Yeah, rest is coming later. But the down payment is that you've got it. Is that right? Thank you, David. You got it. The rest is coming later. Amen. Now, people teach, religion teaches, well, if you don't keep up with it, you can lose it. That means you'd lose your, means God would lose His down payment. God's not going to lose the Holy Spirit of God. So that's why I don't believe you can ever be lost once you're saved. You say, well, Brother Ron, I've seen people sort of draw back away from God. Yeah, the Bible's full of them. Lot, Samson, John. What's your name? Male? Huh? But it goes on. David. It just goes on and on and on. See, salvation, my relationship with God is not performance-based. It's faith-based. And I've got to remember that. Because the devil would like me to get to thinking it's performance-based. That's not it at all. But the Holy Spirit doesn't stop there. He renews us. Huh? You go, what is that? And boy, there's a renewing work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You know what that means? That means my inward man is renewed day by day. My outward man is not, but my inward man is. What Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians. And the Holy Spirit is renewing and work. But He also gives me the insurance. The Bible says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. I'm adopted into the family of God. Did I belong? No. But He made me fit. He's the one that adopted me. It's like a little boy said this. This man and woman had adopted a boy, and they had a boy. And they were in the store one day, and this lady walked up and says, boy, are these your two boys? Yeah. She says, they don't look anything alike. And the six-year-old boy got tired of hearing that. And finally, he looked at the woman, and he says, well, let me explain something to you. I'm adopted. This is where I have the same family, just a different face. It'll catch on. Understand this. I may not look like a Jew, but I are one. You go, why? My name is not Patergonsky. Goginsky or whatever. You know what my name is? Patterson. There's no Jew in that at all. Huh? You know, my Bible says in Romans, I've been made a Jew in here because I believe in Jesus. That's in the book of Romans. Huh? And you'll find it right there in your Bible. Now, what has God done? He's done some amazing things. He invites us, He convicts us, He regenerates us, He indwells us, He seals us, He renews us, He assures us. But here's the most wonderful thing that He does. He changes us. There was a man by the name of John Newton. John Newton lived in the 17th century. That feared him, hated him. He was a hated man. One day out in the ocean with his boat full of slaves, they almost drowned, all of them. Had a bad storm, almost had a shipwreck. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God started working on him. And he realized, I'd go straight to hell if I died. And the Spirit of God got hold of his heart and changed him. He got saved. He received Christ as his Savior. Eventually, God made him and convicted him, and he started growing. He became a very mellow man, became a very sweet, kind-hearted man. God convicted him, and he became a preacher. We know him by one of the songs that we have in our hymn book. Amazing Grace. He wrote the song, and we all sing it. But here's something very unique about him. On his grave marker, it says this: John Newton Clark, once an infidel libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy. God changed him. You know, that story brought me back to old Paul, or Saul, of Tarsus. Acts chapter 9. The man that was slaughtering Christians, that was holding the garments as they stoned Stephen, hated the way, the Bible says. And God changed him. Then I look out across this congregation. I see changed lives. I see changed lives. I see young people change. I see old people change. That God has reached down in your life and changed you. Maybe you're sitting out there today and God's not done that for you yet. Let me say this. The journey starts. Life really starts the day you get saved. And if you're not saved today, you're missing out on what life's all about. And if you are saved, why don't you honor Him with all you have? Because when you come down to the end of life, there's going to be two things that matter. There's going to be you and Him. That's all. No in between. No money. No prestige, no big name. All that's going to matter is you and Him. Father, I pray today that you would bless what has been said. Thank you for these truths. And I pray that you might use these things.